Welcome to the Bible Preaching and Teaching Ministry of Dr. Douglas D. Stauffer. Dr. Stauffer currently serves as president of Key of Knowledge Ministries. He has thousands of hours teaching experience, 10 years serving in pastoral ministries, and has authored several books. One of Dr. Stauffer's most recent projects included his participation as consulting editor for Oxford University Press. He has also been the featured speaker on national and international radio broadcasts dozens of times. If you are interested in these or similar materials, you can contact us at www.mcowanmills.com. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The title of my message is This One Thing I Do. Look at verse 13. Verse 13, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He forgets those things which are behind. I want to preach this morning on giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. I have many passages of Scripture that I wrote down, and I'll read those in a little while. What I want to first do is turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. This one thing I do. True Christianity is not outward first, it's inward first. It's the inward that counts, what's within you. Spirit of God, the new man being fed. And that comes out. In Colossians 2, look at verse 20. Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So Paul is rebuking him. He's saying, look, why are you subject to all these touch not, taste not, handle not? That's the type of thing that the Pharisee did. They made a lot of commandments, which were the commandments of men. Now, it's important not to do certain things. But if you think that Christianity is touch not, taste not, handle not, you know, just these outward things without an inward change, you've missed Christianity. Christianity is an inward change. That's what makes it different from all the religions of the world. All the religions of the world have more of an emphasis on the outward being, a change outward. What Christianity and the Word of God says, you change the inward and it'll change the outward. The Pharisees were rebuked because what did they do? They looked like whited sepulchres. What's that? Well, that's beautiful on the outside, but you know what's inside? Dead men's bones. That's not the way it's supposed to be for Christianity. Christians are supposed to be changed from within, and then that life that people see is supposed to reflect what is changed from within. And that's where we're missing it today many times. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. I taught the book of Galatians in the Bible college. And Galatians is a book rebuking that outward thing. That, hey, everybody's trying to change the outward thing. The Jews said, oh, you got to be circumcised in order to be saved. An outward show of something that doesn't mean anything on the inward thing. Now, God expected the Jews in the Old Testament to be circumcised. But what He's telling us today is, look, you have the Spirit of God within you. Jesus Christ actually lives within us. And it ought to make a difference from within to make that difference outward. We're always so concerned about the outward appearance, how somebody looks, the hair, the way that they dress. Yes, that's important. But if we would change the inside first, the outward will be changed by God. We're going around and we're looking and we're saying, oh, you know, they don't dress like I do and they don't wear their hair like I do. And we don't need to be that way. We have to be very careful. Some of the missionaries were just mentioning, they went into a meeting not long ago, and boy, if you wear wire-rimmed glasses, you're not saved. Where in the world do they get that? Do you realize I heard that when I first got saved 17 years ago? I heard that because you used to wear the black thick glasses with no wire frame, and people said, you're of the world. You're just going with the world standards if you wear wire-rimmed glasses. I was told that I couldn't preach in North Carolina with my mustache. I was told that. You'd have to shave off your mustache. I said, you've got to be kidding. I've got to shave off my mustache to be used of God? You've got to be kidding. Does God say that in His book? Oh, that's the world, though. No, it's not. What are you like inside? That's what God's concerned about. If you've got something outward that isn't right, God will straighten that up. We had somebody that attended this church for 2 months with an earring in their ear. You know what happened? The inward got changed, and that changed the outward. Well, if you sit there, oh, I'm not going to talk to them. They don't look like I look, and they'll be a bad influence on my children. They'll do this. Well, let me tell you something. An attitude like that will be a bad influence on your children. An attitude of we're better, we're somehow greater than those around us. That attitude will be more destructive to our children than seeing anything else that the world can offer. Hey, yeah, we don't need to dress like the world, look like the world. I don't look out. I look out there, I see a bunch of good-looking men, haircuts good. Hey, the women are dressed nice. I see that out there. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is you get the inside straight first and let God straighten out the outside. And by the way, I'm not one that says anything goes. My kids asked me yesterday, what date is it? I told them and they said, oh, Hercules is now on the movie theaters. I said, what? How do you know that? And I remember I took him to McDonald's last week. And I didn't see it, but somehow they saw the date, and Hercules starts yesterday or Friday or someday this week. Oh, is it the 27th? That's what she said. Is it 27th yet? I said, 27th's past, the 28th. She says, oh, Hercules. I said, we're not going to Hercules. She says, well, why not? I said, well, I don't feel like going to a movie. Like, I don't want to go to a movie at all. I took our kids to one movie. We adopted them 5 years ago. They've gone to one movie. How did we go to that movie? Hollywood Got Me. I got 4 free tickets to see a movie, and it was Pocahontas. I thought, hey, you know, we'll go see. That is free. It's not costing me anything. I'm not supporting Hollywood. See, that's the outward. I'm not supporting Hollywood, but I am supporting Hollywood by going. I said, I don't want to go to a movie. I don't care what movie it is. It's a waste of money, waste of time, and it's not a good testimony. What I'm telling you is I believe in some of those things. Now, if you go to the movies, it doesn't matter to me. That's between you and God. We don't. Why? I'm cheap, probably, first of all. You know, I'd like to tell you it's all because Hollywood's rotten and corrupt and all of that, and I'm boycotting Disney and the whole works. I'd like to tell you all that. But what I'm telling you, first of all, probably is the practical thing. Look at God. Oh, boy. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised. What's the purpose? That they may glory in your flesh. There are a lot of people out there who want to glory in your flesh. Do you know who they get most of all? Young Christians. They get young Christians, hey, don't do this, how I straightened them up. We don't need to straighten anybody up. Remember the moat? The beam? Get ourselves straight. And then let our lives speak it. Let the Word of God convict. Let the Word of God convict people. I don't mean this we as I'm talking to anybody, because I have no idea. I'm just preaching what God wants me to preach. And when I say we, I mean a generic we. I don't know of anybody that's gone to anybody and said anything. But you know what we need to make sure? That just because maybe that isn't happening here, like it happens all across this country, if we don't preach on it and take our attention to it, we will backslide into that. We'll slide into that. We've got to ever be on guard to keep ourselves in the book and right with the book and preach the whole counsel of God. As was mentioned this morning. Look at verse 14. Paul says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." He says, God forbid that I should glory in one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. Later on he says, God, I only glory in mine infirmities. Why did he glory in his infirmities? Because he realized when he was weak, God could use him. As soon as you start thinking you're strong and you're powerful and you're it, you're on the shelf. God is not going to use a man or a woman that thinks that they are God's gift to the world. He's looking for Christians that compare themselves with Christ and realize that they're wanting, they're lacking, they're needful. They glory in one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. They glory in one thing, the fact that Jesus Christ, God the Son, came down from heaven's glory, was born of a woman, became flesh, dwelt among us, and died for our sins. And then you can be saved simply by trusting in Him. And all that revolves around one person, and that's Jesus Christ. What do you glory in? Jesus Christ. Glory in Him. So the Bible says there, he says that they want to make a fair show in the flesh. Well, they love to get a hold of young Christians. Tell them, do this, don't do that, don't. Wait a minute. Give them the book. Let the changes be made by God so that they will be effective and long-lasting. If we go around and we tell people, look, this is what you got to do to be a Christian. And then they say, well, that's what I'm doing now, therefore I'm a Christian, and I'm living right, and I'm doing okay, and God thinks I'm great. No, you line yourself up. Give your body a living sacrifice. And then what's it say? That's our reasonable service. Teach them the truth. You sacrifice down here, God will give you glory in heaven with His Son. And it's only reasonable that we should do that because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Look at Matthew 23. Here's the hypocritical Pharisees. What did they do? Jesus rebukes them. The Marines say, a few good men. You realize that's all God's looking for is a few good men and women rather than like 1,000 lukewarm Christians? He would rather have 3 men and 3 women working to the glory of God than 1,000 and thousands of thousands of lukewarm Christians. He wants people that are sold out to Jesus Christ. He wants people that are on fire because of the book, because of His Son, because of what He has done for us. That's what He's looking for. In Matthew 23, he rebukes the Pharisees. In verse 1, he says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." So in this case, they were actually saying the right thing, but they weren't doing it. See, it goes both ways. Not only should you tell people, in other words, if you're going to hold this book up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," you ought to be living it. You ought to be living what the book says. If the book says live a crucified life, you ought to be living a crucified life. If you're telling other people to live one. If the book says, and it does, to crucify the flesh, to renew your mind. Are you renewing your mind? Are you telling others to do something that you're not doing? Then you're no better than the hypocritical Pharisees. And you ought to read Matthew 23 and see what it says. It says some major things to them. I've got him highlighting, he says, "Ye hypocrites, woe unto you, ye fools and blind guides, ye fools and blind," and he goes on and on and on. It is some of the most terrific preaching in the Word of God. Because he doesn't cut any slack. He just tells it like it is. He tells them, look, you're not right. You need to be right. You need to put the things of God first. Don't just say it, but do it. If you're going to tell somebody about it, you ought to be living it. You ought to be living it. I don't mean a perfect life, because none of us do. I mean one that's glorifying to God. Look at verse 24. This is where he tells them, he says, "Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Boy, that's convicting just to read. You'd almost want to just read that if this is the way that we work and we don't and we should. You'd almost want to read that and give an invitation and say, woe is me. That talks about me. I'm hypocritical sometimes. Somebody was telling me about a movie yesterday or the day before, and they were telling me that, hey, there's no cussing. It's a good movie, good clean movie. Your kids could watch it. That was good. But the statement that I thought was important was, we don't watch anything that our kids can't watch. Why can you watch things that your kids can't watch? Why? Is their mind supposed to be any more pure than yours? Think about it. Why should I watch something that I won't allow my kids to watch? Shouldn't do that. We're like whited sepulchres sometimes. We look good on the outside. We clean up real well. But what's going on within? We need to search our heart. For out of the heart are the issues of life. That's where the issues of life are. Listen to the things that you say. You tell dirty jokes? That tells a lot about what's coming from within. But it's not just telling them. Do you listen to them? Laugh at them? Encourage them? Or do you discourage people from telling them to you? I had a man tell me the other day, he's in the Air Force, and he told me, he said, if they call an official meeting, he tells them, well, look, if you want me to be there can't be any drinking or smoking in that. If it's an official meeting, you expect me to be there. Well, that's going to cost that person. Yeah, it is. Sure will. But they got more guts than you and me. If we don't do that, they're living closer to God than we are if we don't stand up for what's right. And we don't let people know that, look, we don't want to partake in that. We don't want to be a part of it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Giving glory to God now. And I'm going to read this one to you, and I'm going to read you a number of passages about giving glory to God. Verses 6 and 7, what does Paul say? Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. If we keep that in mind, that we're nothing, we are to sow, we are to plant, we are to allow God to use us to water, but God's the one that gives the increase. We won't have a problem with giving glory to God. We'll live that crucified life that the Bible talks about. We'll live the life that God says we're supposed to live. If we keep in mind that He's the one that's doing the work and He's the one that's supposed to get the glory. The Bible says in Psalm 127:1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. God's the one that does the work. 1 Corinthians 4:7, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? All of your abilities, all of your and my capabilities, they're from God. We need to give God the glory. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Because of God, you have talents, abilities. Because of God, I have talents and abilities. But we have to remember, it's because of God. Because of what God has given us. Every talent that we have comes from the Father above. That's where it comes from. If we remember that, God will continue to use us. If we get our eyes off of God and get them upon ourselves looking in the mirror, you know what we'll think? Every single time you'll get to thinking, you're something for God. You're something. You're needed. God wants us, but God doesn't need us. God can make water come out of a rock, don't you? He can make a donkey speak or an ass speak. He can do that. Do you think He needs you and I? No, but He's chosen His infinite wisdom to use man to bring about His will and His way. He's chosen to do that. We are the greatest of species. I'm not a tree hugger. I don't kick dogs and won't run over an animal. If they're in the middle of the road, I'll do what I can to miss them as long as I'm not going to cause a wreck or wreck myself. I'll do that. But we are the greatest of species, humanity. Why? Because that's what God has chosen to bring about His will. That doesn't mean that I'm saying you ought to not care about all of God's creation. You ought to remember it's God's creation. That doesn't mean I won't shoot a deer if I have a gun in my hands and it's hunting season. We ought to realize we got to give God the glory. Give God the glory in everything we do.
Amen.
Not just the big things and not just the little things. God will continue to use us if we remember that. 1 Corinthians 8:2 says, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. You see, if you start thinking, well, I really know this Bible, that goes for you. You don't really know anything. I get into this book and I am amazed at every time that I go in there. There's something new, something different. It's a blessing. And then God just says, look, it's always refreshing. It's always new. But I go in this book and it's all new sometimes. That's why you should never just take a verse for granted. I've quoted 1 Corinthians 15:10 for years. Most everything I find, I sign that verse underneath. Turn there and look at that. 1 Corinthians 15:10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Well, that's giving glory to God. "And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." That sounds like he's bragging. He says those three words, "Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." You know, I never saw those three words until somebody pointed them out to me in one of the articles that we wrote for the newspaper. "Yet not I." Those are three very important words when you're talking about the glory of God and the work of God. I'm doing the work, yet not I. Oh, and we went out and we were witnessing and we led this soul to God. You know, oh, yet not I. I did this, yet not I. In everything that you do for God, it's always, yet not I. Yet not I. We went out street preaching. Well, I don't remember my days anymore. It might have been last Saturday. The guys down at the mission go out street preaching. Now they go in the projects. I'll tell you a story first. We're walking through the projects. I was with one of the men. I was with Angelo. He's the cook down at the mission. He's pretty husky guy, and we're walking through, and all of a sudden, right around the corner, I don't know, some kids, they threw some firecrackers out. And I saw him, he jumped, and these three ladies were walking by, and they looked over at us, and they pointed at him, and they just laughed. I was expecting something, so I don't know why I didn't really flinch as bad as he did. But I saw him, out of the corner of my eye, flinch. Those ladies were just laughing up a storm. But we had some people get saved. And you've always got to keep in mind, yet not I. I get on them down there. I said, look, I don't want to know a number. They came back and they said, oh, we had this many conversions. And I just want to say, get away from the numbers. People ask me how many members we have here. I say, I don't know. Well, how many do you have in school? 421. Why? Because we budget that. You know, you got to know that number. You know, what do we have in the church? I don't know. Because we've gone maybe the other extreme. We don't want to count numbers. We don't want to get I. We want to be yet not I. Yet not I. Remember those three words today. If nothing else you remember in the message, remember this. It is yet not I. Anything you do for God, it is yet not I. But God. But His glory. Another verse is 1 Corinthians 10:12. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Do you notice that most of these, I just realized this just now, I read 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 8, 1 Corinthians 10, and now I'm getting ready to read 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore let no man glory in men. 6 out of 7 verses on giving God the glory comes out of 1 Corinthians. Do you know why that was? It was a carnal church. That church had to be told and reminded to give God the glory. Give God the glory in all you do. And maybe that's the thought that God would have me convey. I look around and I see the renovations at the church in the auditorium. I see renovations going on over at the gym. I see renovations at the apartment. We're not doing it. I look at the things that are getting done, and it's not us that's doing it. It is God. If we keep that in mind, I believe God will continue to bless. Amen. We ever get our eyes off of God and get them looking at man and looking at each other. You know what I hope? I hope nothing's different when we get in the other building. I hope we remain the same. I hope we don't look around and think, wow, we got a church built. I mean, because really, if you look at what we had, I mean, we had a gymnasium that was turned into a church building. And that's fine. That's fine. I didn't know we had a problem. Till you look at what we've got and you go, my goodness, I mean, it's going to look like a church. I mean, it looks really, really nice. I mean, the walls are curved. We got curved walls. The easiest thing you do is square something up. I think about the walls being out of square. I think about we got some measurements where we're not really square down there either. So if you ever look around and you start looking at something, you say, was that wall longer than that wall over there? The answer is yes. We did that to stay humble. Actually, Brother Steve's going to preach sort of like this. He's going to shoot me when he comes back if he listens to the message. You know, let's not change. Let's not be different. But let me tell you something. I hope we don't change. I hope we don't. Same group, same spirit, same giving glory to God. Let's not look at the physical things. Because if we look at the outward appearance, we're going to forget what's important is what's within. What's within us. And what's within that church, those church walls. What's within those church walls. Who's within it? We are. We are. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 17 and 18, if you'll turn there, Paul reminds the Corinthians in the second book that he wrote to them, he says, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. See, he's got to continue on. Even though he didn't write to him and remind him as many times in the second book of Corinthians as he did in the first, he still has to tell him, look, get your eyes on the Lord. And I guess if the Lord has to tell me anything over and over again, it's that one thing. Get your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. Don't look in the mirror and think something you shouldn't think. Oh, look at what I've done. Look at the talent. Look at the money. Look at the things we're doing. No. You get your eyes on God and you keep them on God and you don't look around here, compare yourselves among yourselves. You compare yourself to one person, that's Jesus Christ. And every time we do that, you know what we'll find out? We're nothing. And He's everything. And we owe Him a dedicated, consecrated, holy life. That's what we owe Him. The God of the universe in human flesh died for us, suffered, and was beaten beyond recognition, the Bible says. Yet He did that for me. He did that for you. So that we could be saved and not go to hell. So that we could have Him actually live within us. So that this battle that we fight on this earth can actually have some victory because of what He does within us. That's what it's all about. Yet not I. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Maybe this is why the Lord didn't let me have the computer, because if I was doing this in the computer, I would have realized all these verses were coming out of the same book. I had no idea. I had no idea that until I looked at them after y'all were turning the pages, I realized each page was close and you're all in the same book all the time. I didn't notice that. I would have noticed that with a computer. But I didn't notice that. I think He wanted me to get a blessing from seeing that, look, He had to remind the Corinthian church to give glory to God. Here He is in 2 Corinthians reminding them to glory in this. He says in verse 30, 2 Corinthians 11:30. He says, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. Why did He say that? Because He was told that when He was weak, God could use Him. When He realized He was nothing, God could use a broken vessel like that. When He realized that, He could be used by God. But if Paul ever got to the point where he lifted himself up, you saw what happened with Moses. Moses said, must we strike the rock? Must we fetch you water out of this rock? Must we do it? Instead of saying, this is what God's done. Yeah, He struck that rock twice when He shouldn't have. But you notice what He said? He also didn't give glory to God. And He didn't go into the promised land. He lost everything you could imagine losing for a human being in his situation. That's like He takes him through the wilderness for 40 years. He brings him out of Egypt. He sees the glory of God and the miracles of God. And he knows all the promises of God. And yet he doesn't get to experience the earthly promises that God has made to the nation of Israel. Why? Because he didn't give glory to God. And because he broke the typology in the Old Testament. Don't turn there, but turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Psalm 121 says, my help cometh from the Lord. James 1:17 says, every good gift cometh from above. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 5:12. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. You see, we need to glory in heart, not in appearance. If we glory in the appearance of things, we won't be right with God. We need to glory in heart. He rebukes them and he says, look at it again. He says, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them. He had to give them an answer to give. And in doing so, he had to tell them some things. He says, somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. All the glory we ought to do ought to be in our heart for the things that God has done. And not glory in appearance, neither at the outward things that we see or in the things that are done. We need to glory in the heart. That's what he was rebuking them in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for. We commend not ourselves again unto you. But he had to do it. He had to tell them what was going on. And you have to be careful about that. Sometimes you'll inform people of things, and in doing so, I've had 25 people I've shown around at what's going on down at the church and the mission apartments and things like that. He's warning them of that. He's saying, look, I had to tell you what was going on. But be careful that you don't glory in appearance. You make sure you glory in your heart. We've got to be very careful of that as a church. I think because of the threshold that we're on. Because of the things that God is using this church to do. A missionary came in not long ago. He says, well, you're all known all around the world as a missions church. I like hearing that. but I better like it in here as much as I do in here. I better make sure that it's because the church has a reputation of taking care of missionaries and meeting their needs and doing what God has put upon their hearts and sending out missionaries and trying to evangelize the world and things like that, and not that somehow it's because of us, because we're so great. It's not. It's because of God, because of His Son, because of the fact that He's given us a book, and this book has been lifted up. People have learned the Word of God, and because of that, they can live the life that God wants them to live. It only comes from this book right here, in a life that you consecrate to God. Let's all stand together. I'm going to give an invitation, but I just want you to search your hearts out where you are. Pray to God where you are. And you ask Him to give you the strength to do what He would have you to do. If the Lord's telling you to do something other than that, and you want to come forward, that's fine. I'm not interested in the outward appearance. I'm interested in your heart. You do what God tells you to do. Let's pray. Lord, thank You again for Your Son who died for our sins. I pray, Lord, that You'll take the message, apply it to our hearts and lives. Help us to be obedient and to give You all the glory and honor for everything that's done on this earth, that's done according to Thy will. Lord, we can only take the credit for the things that go contrary to Your will because of our disobedience. Help us to always remember that it's because of You that we even exist. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you are interested in these or similar materials, you can contact us at www.mcowanmills.com. That is MCCOWENMILLS.com, or through the mail at P.O. Box 1611, Millbrook, Alabama 36054, or by calling 334-285-6650. Orders can be placed online or by calling toll-free at 1-866-344-1611.